That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Reverse Flash TV Talk. That's right. It's the fan podcast dedicated to the world's greatest supervillain. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! What's going on, buddy? You doing okay?
Feeling really evil, man.
Oh, yeah. It got dark up in this.
You could say it got Damien dark.
Oh!
Still got it.
Yeah.
The kids still got it.
Yeah. Return of the Mac. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got, man, this episode right here. We've got an episode to talk about.
An episode of television to talk about.
Yes.
On TV Talk.
You know, this is what happens, man. We do a full-on brand rebrand. We drop the Flash, and the Flash is like, oh, really? You're gonna drop the Flash from your name? Is that what you're gonna do? Flash TV Talk, the number one Flash podcast on the internet. You're gonna drop the Flash now? Boom. Guess what? We weren't done with you. We're gonna bring you the greatest, the greatest TV event of all time. Oh, what? Oh, you want Reverse Flash? We heard you like Reverse Flash. We got the Reverse Flash. Oh, you like some Damien Duck? You like the Return of the Mac? He's back. You like time travel? Oh, we got time travel shenanigans all throughout. Oh, I'm sorry. Have y'all been talking nonstop about Cecile being Psycho Pirate? Oh, we got you there too. They got it all. They got everything, Bell. See, this is what happens. This is what happens. The moment we drop the Flash from our edge, our title, they're like, no. We are going to punish you, Flash TV Talk, for ever turning your back on us. We never turned our back on you.
It's like CW was like, oh, I see you rebranded your Flash podcast over there. Be a shame if I ruined that for you.
Yeah, be a real shame if suddenly the Flash became the best thing on television. Oh, man. All right. We got an episode to talk about. But first, of course, we would not be able to do so without the amazing support of our patrons over at patreon.com/TV Talk. Head over there, help support the show, get some good stuff for doing it, including access to our Discord channel and more. By the way, a quick shout out to our Batcrafters. Batcraft, our DC Comics inspired SMP on Minecraft is live. And if you want to check out the shenanigans going on there, check out the TV channel, TV Talk YouTube channel. Yeah, and that's how you could do that. Good stuff.
Say that going five on. Times fast.
You know what? I'm not going to, because we got way more important stuff to get into. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Let's get into the rundown. Episode 4 of season 8, Armageddon. Just do it.
Armageddon.
Part 4. Directed by Chad Lowe and story by
Lauren Barnett.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Barry finds that the timeline changed and he is now the Reverse Flash. Thawne reveals that he killed Joe and framed Barry for the attacks in Central City, then traveled back in time to kill Barry as a child and later became the Flash. At midnight, the reverse Flashpoint timeline will solidify and Barry will disappear. He partners with this timeline's Damian Dark and plots revenge against Thawne, but Dark ultimately learns Barry's true nature and helps Barry restore the original timeline upon learning that his daughter, Nora Dark, is alive in it. Meanwhile, Iris is visited by Batwoman while she struggles to write her vows to Thawne. Alex helps Chester and Allegra admit their love for one another and also convinces Choi to love again. The speed required for Barry to return to 2021 will cause Armageddon through the through extinction-level natural disasters, but he decides to follow through. Barry visits Iris to say goodbye and is intercepted by Thawne, but Iris lets Barry escape. Thawne chases him while Dark holds off Frost, Chilblain, Ryan Choi as the Atom, and Sentinel as Barry returns to 2021. Thawne's changes are undone, and Barry tells Despero to check 2031 for himself. Thawne arrives in the 2021 time vault as the Reverse Flash and activates Gideon to aid him.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, I mean, I first of all, where do we begin? I mean, like, I feel as though we have to acknowledge just the attention to detail in this episode. I mean, did you catch it up in the, you know, the intro?
Oh, yeah, that was legit. Like, I have to say this, though. I want to start this out by saying, you know, I usually can very rarely watch the shows live just because of, you know, either I'm working late or I'm cooking dinner or something like that. It's rare that I can watch the show live.
No, it's true. A lot has happened over the last 8 years in our lives that has taken away our, you know, ability to watch television live. This is true.
Yes. But I want to say that I don't know what the CW is thinking, because I'm seeing like official CW tweets of Barry in the Reverse Flash costume before I've seen this episode. And
it gets worse, Bell.
Yeah. And I'm like, what, like, and showing Eobard in the Flash suit. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I haven't seen the episode. Like, I feel like that was supposed to be like a big shocking moment, and you're just tweeting it out the day afterwards.
No, it gets worse, Bell. Those images surfaced the day before. Like, those images were coming out actually before the episode went live. That was part of, not even the day before, I think it was a couple days before, as part of the promotional material for this episode.
I just, Ryan Reynolds' gif, but why?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I can guess why. I mean, like, that's the thing. The Flash has been doing a lot of like hard work to bring back kind of those season one numbers. I mean, this is season one quality stuff. This is beyond season one quality stuff. This is, I mean, arguably, you know, a good chunk of this is arguably Flash movie material stuff. Like, we're dealing with some good stuff here. And so they're trying to get people back, and they know Barry in that Reverse Flash. I mean, we predicted it last week. I remember like getting off of the episode thinking like, could you imagine if they did this? Like, I had no clue, by the way. I had no clue.
Neither did I. I missed all the promo stuff until yesterday.
Yeah. Well, see, you at least were set. Like, as soon as we posted our episode, and I want to see the next day is when some of those promotional images started making the rounds. And I thought, well, good. I'm glad that I put that prediction out there, because honestly, I had no clue that that was going to be the case. And I get to say, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so.
Well, you didn't. You didn't, because Eobard wasn't Barry.
No. Okay. That were, well, technically, he was
Eobard Barry. Was the Flash. Well, Eobard wasn't Barry. Eobard was Eobard as the Flash. Like,
for a hot minute in the original timeline, in the pre-reverse Flashpoint timeline, he was Barry. He put on Barry's face and he did some bad stuff. So
you were right for one piece of that.
I'll take it. Thank you, Bell. Yes.
Yeah.
No, but I was right about the Barry in the wearing the Reverse Flash garb.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't see that coming. Like, that I thought, awesome. I thought it was going to be a completely different direction, and I wasn't sure what they were going to do with it. And I was pretty mad when I'm sitting there scrolling through Twitter, and I'm like, because like that's
major spoils. Yeah,
I try like I don't even watch. I mean, you can't watch the next episode preview if you're watching online. It just doesn't show it.
Right.
But like, even still, I would avoid watching those. Because it messes with your speculation, right? Because you get to see things in the from the next episode, and it, like, you know, I feel like it's more natural and organic just to get what you get in the episode and try to speculate off of that, or like, you know, whatever. And so I'm sitting here going through Twitter, and I'm like, oh, well, first off, dang it, I was right, and and secondly, I'm like, well, that's disappointing, because I'm sitting there like, I'm excited, like I'm going to watch this episode.
That would have been such a moment. It really would. I mean, like, and I guess it was for the, I you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's still awesome. It doesn't take away from the awesomeness factor. But it is disappointing that you and I did not get to experience that. And most people, I would argue, didn't get a chance to experience that live in the episode because of the way they ran the promotion for this one.
It's like, imagine if you're about to watch the Crisis episode where Barry meets Ezra Miller's Flash.
Right. Oh, exactly.
And you saw that. Exactly right. You're scrolling through Twitter like as the episode's booting up and you see that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is the equivalent. It is that level. But regardless, man. Okay. Yeah, I hear you. I'm mad about it too, but I don't want to let my anger for that get away from
getting I'm mad away. As hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore. Sorry, little newsroom.
Let's talk about the costume though. Okay, first of all, Barry, I can't pull off the color yellow. Okay, I've tried. I've got like maybe one shirt with some yellow in it that works, but like for the most part, yellow is a very difficult color to pull off. Barry looks good in yellow.
He did. He looked really good, and the suit looked really good. So like, I mean, clearly Barry's got some like fashion design sense in there because I think they updated the suit and it looked awesome.
Yeah, no, it looks absolutely great. And, you know, there's been speculation that, okay, well, they've created this suit and that means that potentially we're going to see this, you know, be for somebody else. I think we even kind of kicked around the speculation with like, it was a live and kind of off the cuff speculation about Barry wearing the Reverse Flash costume, but I felt fairly confident that we could legitimately see an Eobard wearing the Flash suit. It just seemed the way the episode ended, like they were going in that direction. And especially because I thought, and I think I was wrong, but I don't know. It seemed to me that they could edit or make some adjustments to Oliver's Flash costume and be able to make it fit Kavanaugh. And Kavanaugh filled it out okay. It was weird. It was weird seeing him in the Flash costume, right?
Yes. It was everything when the helmet wasn't on, yeah. It looked fine. When the helmet was on, I don't know what it is about Grant Gustin's head that fits that helmet so well.
Well, they crafted it. So you know what it is? You got to have a chin or you have to have that helmet crafted to give you a chin. And I think Grant, this was the problem when he didn't have the chin strap. Like it didn't look as good. Like you need, there's a certain kind of chin that's required. And if you don't have it, then the costume kind of gives it to you. And they couldn't really do that for Kavanaugh. Like he doesn't have the jawline, you know, for it. I think he's got more of like an Evans, Chris Evans jawline.
Yeah.
Like it works with more of like that helmet strap than like the chin guard or whatever you want to call that thing. That guards the chin.
a chin strap?
I don't know. Maybe it's not, but it's not really a strap. It just kind of goes around. But that, I think that's why he doesn't look as good in the costume.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like when they weren't wearing, or I guess when Tom wasn't wearing the helmet, I thought it looked, it was crazy seeing him in it. It was really crazy seeing him in it.
It was so bizarre. It was so twisted. And it was.
Yeah. And then he puts the helmet on. I'm like, he kind of looks goofy.
Yeah, exactly. He came back. Like it was like the menacing nature of it kind of helped to counterbalance that because it was kind of like, all right, you do look a little goofy, but man, this is such an evil plot. I mean, like, okay, think about it. Think about like his whole pitch. Like imagine an alternate reality. I mean, like we don't have to imagine because we saw it, but like imagine a situation where like literally Grant Gustin has been playing Eobard Thawne the entire time. And crazy. Tom Kavanaugh literally has been Barry Allen the entire time. Right.
But he knows like that he's fighting himself kind
right,
of.
Right, right, right. But I mean like, imagine like just the mind mess up situation that creates.
Yeah.
Not just for the characters, but for us, like we have the benefit of having Barry as our POV character. But the reality is like, if we weren't going along with Barry, you know, and we had a situation where Kavanaugh shows up and he's like, it's me. Like I'm the Flash. You love me. Like we wouldn't believe him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's no way, like as an audience, we wouldn't go along with him. I was, you know, anyway, I thought the way they did all that was fantastic. It was deliciously evil. I know I used delicious last week, but because it's Christmas time, man, I'm getting hungry. I thought that was great, man. It was straight up Eobard Thawne. It does kind of speak, as I mentioned last week, to kind of what his you know, his main objective, right? Like, he wants to be Barry Allen. He doesn't want to just destroy Barry Allen. He wants to destroy Barry Allen through becoming Barry Allen. And I think that this like event has successfully done for the Flash what I think many of us have wanted to see for years. Like, this is the culmination in many respects of the entire series. Despero was such a red herring. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, are we even going to get a fight with Despero at the end?
Who cares? We don't need it.
I don't really care at this point, honestly.
Yeah. Like, Despero was like literally here just to set this up and like to be kind of this menacing big bad. And we thought that we were dealing with this, you know, with Despero. It's kind of like, oh, you know, he's, he's the Thanos of this situation. Like he's going to be the big thing that's going to cause all the heroes to come together. And nope, that wasn't it at all. In fact, the heroes themselves didn't really need to assemble except for in an alternate timeline. And did you notice, Bell, in the alternate timeline, the Justice League isn't the Justice League. It's Team Flash. Like, Eobard, in his hubris, has set up the Justice League and thought, you know what? No, rather than like we being a team of heroes, you're all going to be my side players. Because he doesn't say, you know, Justice League assemble. He says Team Flash. He says Team Flash suit up. He calls Batwoman and Supergirl's sister, whose name I can't remember right now. Like, Allegra, they're all like, I mean, Allegra's always been Team Flash, but you know what I mean? Like, these leaguers, the Atom, they're all Team Flash now. They're not Justice Leaguers. They're Team Flash. And I thought that was another just kind of way in which we saw Eobard remaking the world to be his ideal. Yes, he became Barry Allen, so to speak. He took over Barry Allen's life and did everything almost the same, except some very, very specific and I think telling differences. And the way he modeled the Justice League, I think, is really interesting. Man, I don't know if you noticed there was something else that you know, Eobard was able to accomplish that Barry never had.
What was that?
You didn't happen to notice anything looked a little bit different this episode?
If you're trying to say that the Star Labs roof was finished, it was not.
Was it not?
No.
Okay, I watched because I remember last time everybody was like, oh, he fixed it. And I was like, I don't think it's fixed. I think we just got flattering arrows. But this time I was watching and it looked like it was actually fixed.
It was a different shot from a different angle. They did another shot later on. And I mean, I swear, like I was looking specifically for that. And it looked like it was broken in another shot. It was just really, it was darker. Like, that timeline was darker. It was never lit.
No, I got that.
I'm pretty sure it's broken.
It looks like a different Star Labs, though. Like, it seems sleeker. And this
is lit different.
Literally, it's just
the roof is still fit or still broken.
that's like a fixed point in time situation, isn't it? It's like in every single timeline, Star Labs must be broken.
Yeah. It's they can't fix it at this point. It's too far gone.
Man, okay, I missed that one because I thought for real that, man, I thought that that in fact Eobard had fixed it and I was wrong last week.
Pretty sure he didn't.
Okay, well, there you go. So Star Labs still broken in this reverse flashpoint timeline. What did you think about the use of the term reverse flashpoint?
I liked it. I think it works. Well.
Yep.
this is basically you created a flashpoint. No, I created a reverse flashpoint. Barry should have seen that coming. He should have been like, all right, touche.
He's like, you set me up for that, Barry. I mean, come on. Yeah, I didn't mind that at all. I thought that was, it doesn't mean anything. You know, I think that's, I don't think that we're to assume that means that in some form or fashion, you know, time travel with a reverse flashpoint acts differently than a flashpoint. I think it's all the same thing. I think that we've just got Eobard being cheeky, which is,
yes, you know, yes, for sure.
Textbook stuff. All right. So I told you we'd get Damian coming back.
Yes. I didn't know that was going to happen until you told me. So,
yeah. And I felt mildly bad about spoiling that, but that was something that was kind of spoiled for me. So I thought I'd pass on the pain. What did you think, man? What did you think about Damian's return? I know he kind of left the last time we saw him, he was much more of a Legends character. And so I'm kind of curious as to your thoughts of you know, this potentially last return of Damian Dark.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at first I was like, you know, they said he got released from prison and then he immediately killed all the Legends, Ryan or Ray Palmer. And I think it was... Maybe it's just Legends of Ray Palmer, but now I was like, what?
I think Sarah, right? Didn't they say that he killed Sarah as well?
Well, Sarah is a legend.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're saying that they said the legends plus Ray Palmer, as if the implication is that Ray was not considered a legend.
He wasn't. Well, I mean, it's a different timeline. So, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
But they referred to him as, like, you know, billionaire philanthropist, tech guru, Ray Palmer.
Okay.
But what was weird is I'm sitting there. I'm like, what? I was like, that's not where we left Damian's character. Then I was like, oh, wait, hold on. This is a different timeline. Mm-hmm. So let's take that into consideration. And then when Barry was like, no, you sacrifice yourself for your daughter. Like, those character moments and elements that we saw in Legends and stuff came to fruition. I was like, that's really cool. I like how they did that. I like how, you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Like, Damian Dark's ultimate redemption. And I guess you could say it's sort of redemption. It's not, he doesn't care about anybody else but his daughter. And so he sacrificed himself to save her and for no other reason.
right. Yeah.
but it's really cool to know that, like, that piece of him is still there, even in this new timeline. And that's what, you know, allowed him to help Barry. Right. Is just that knowledge there. And so I thought that was kind of cool. Cause at first I was like, what? No, that's not Damian. I was like, oh, well, different timeline. Okay, sure. And you know, I'll put that aside, whatever. And then the fact that his daughter being alive in Barry's timeline is what convinced him to help. I was like, okay, cool. I like how they did that.
And that tracks with the Damian that, you know,
it does. Exactly. And that's the reason why it was so good, is because it does track with his character. And so taking these things that you know about the character from the real timeline and then incorporating them in the new timeline is neat, because I mean, I have issues because I don't like it when you have character development moments in timelines that are going to go away.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I feel like you're alluding to something that we'll be talking about here in a few minutes. But this
was kind of the opposite of that, because we had a character elements and character moments from the real timeline merge into this one and kind of like bleed into this one. And so it felt a lot better.
Well, and he's dead, right? Like
in Damian, the real timeline, he's dead. Yes.
Right. Okay. So from that standpoint, it's almost like a chance to like reaffirm a character who has already taken his bow, where it's like, not just like kind of like, oh, remember Damian Dark? Remember Damian Dark? I remember. Like, no, it's like, not only do we remember and love Damian Dark, who, despite being extremely evil, is extremely likable, right?
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely.
I mean, like, I forgot how likable of a character he was. I was like, oh man, Damian, what you doing, man? How you living? You <been? laughs> oh, you're dead. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how's that going for you?
How's death?
So that's the thing, right? Like, he's an extremely likable character. And it's kind of a way to reaffirm him to some extent, as opposed to sometimes when you get characters revisited in television shows, we see a darker version of them and we see them as a villain, because it's kind of like a subverting the expectation, or kind of a twist of what we've known from them, which feels off. Yeah. And, or we get kind of a, you know, them coming back and being like, oh, but this was such a cool villain, so let's make them do something very out of character and very different from how we've known them before. Pied Piper was kind of like that, because Pied Piper was kind of a jerk. And then we came back post a mini Flashpoint type situation, and he was like, oh, I'm really cool now and I'm a nice guy, and by the way, I'm glad you changed my character completely, because you're never going to see me again. Like, it's like, wait, what just happened there? But anyway, point is, I thought it was really great to get to revisit Damian Dark, and just an incredibly likable character. Also, does this man not age?
No, it's kind of funny, because like, Damian Dark is the real person, like a real magic person. And like, yeah, the quote actor who plays him is just, that's like, you know, his Batman to his Bruce Wayne kind of thing. It's like,
right. Yeah.
His, you know, Batman is this actor who plays Damian Dark, but Damian Dark is actually a real timeless magical being.
Clearly. Yes. Yeah. That's it's incredible.
I'm surprised you didn't know that, actually.
No, I did not, but I'm glad you informed me about that. I thought it was great, man. Loved getting a chance to revisit the character of Damian Dark in this way. Liked the reference to the Paragon of Love. He made mention of the Time Stone. Can you give those of us who don't know what he's talking about a quick lesson on the Time Stone?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly the like where they got it and everything, but that was something that that Nora Dark had, and she was using it to kind of like jump around through time. I think Ray gave it to her because the time people like captured her, the time police, the TVA.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
But you know, when she redeemed herself, and when the demon was cast into Damien and he killed himself, like she surrendered herself voluntarily, and then, you know, Ray busted in and gave it to her, and that's kind of how she was bouncing around through time.
Okay, so
like she had it before. Yeah, it's but
no, I think you're misunderstanding my question. What is a time stone? I have no idea.
Oh, it's just a rock that lets you go through time. It's like a magic. Okay. It's a piece of magic. It's like the legends have the little, you know, wristwatch things that open portals that they can walk through. Kind of like how the TVA has a little PDA that they can open portals with.
Yeah, yeah. I've
seen a lot of influences there, Loki. Where do we got all those? Where do we got all those time travel little tidbits from? Interesting.
Now, I'm sure they were mining Legends of Tomorrow for quality television.
They should. Legends of Tomorrow is the greatest. even though I haven't really seen any of this most recent season, but you know.
All right. No, that's great. That's great. No, that's fine. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Okay, fine. So time stone, I mean, it's in the name. It's a stone that helps you travel through time. It's magic. We don't got to explain it. Got it.
Yes.
By the way, love Damien's like, I hate science. It's like, you know, the perfect like magic versus science, you know, like a conundrum.
Yeah.
And comic book stuff is beautiful and well represented there. And Damien's distaste for magic. He basically gave us an OMG science right there. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Ryan Choi, man, we got the new Adam. And dude, not only did we get the new Adam, we got him wearing the classic Adam costume.
Yeah, like a little comic accurate costume there. That was unexpected.
That's kind of wild to me because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the costume that Ray wears more of like the Ryan Choi costume? And now we've got Ryan Choi wearing the traditional Ray costume.
I don't know enough about Adam to answer that question, but okay. I could be wrong,
but I think that's right. But you know, I'll let our listeners correct this, especially the more comic knowledgeable, especially in modern context. Man, loved it. Loved seeing that costume, and it looks pretty good.
It does. Yeah, it didn't look half bad. It kind of, you know, it reminds me of sort of like a Flash costume, sort of kind of, but yeah. Blue and
yeah.
Red.
Yeah.
But well, it looked good.
You had if we're giving Tom a pass, you know, it's one of those things of like, you know, Tom Cavan is wearing the Flash costume and it looks, you know, he's wearing it. he's doing great. You know, he's doing fantastic and we're getting everything we want. I'm not going to complain about how he looks in the costume. It's fine. But the fact that he's wearing it is great. So kudos. Yeah,
the fact that he's wearing it was what was important.
That was what was important.
it's the thought that counts.
Exactly. Which is why you're like, you know, everybody else looks fantastic by comparison. It's like, no, this is wonderful. He did say suit up, by the way, in the engagement party, which of course you were right about. He did say suit up, and I have to make mention, we did not see, was still, even in the future, Allegra, no costume. She needs a costume.
Her costume is that she glows.
Glows up. She's all glown up. No, it's good. I get it. So like she is the costume is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I figure, you know, they're probably thinking, why waste budget making her a costume when we can just, you know, throw the CG glow effects on her.
Well, fair enough. First introduction to Batwoman, by the way, this episode.
Yeah, which this is bad, but whatever. I haven't watched Batwoman. I haven't even finished the first season. I know I'm bad. Me and Christy were watching it. We liked it. We just, you know, other stuff came out. We were watching that, and
it's a hard time to find. Like, it's an amazing time for television, which also means that, like, you know, you're competing against a lot right now.
Right, right.
Like and popcorn. Guilty pleasure shows like that genre or that kind of a bucket of what kind of qualifies as more of a guilty pleasure show becomes bigger and bigger because the premium stuff also is becoming bigger and bigger. And it's like, okay, well, this is a good show, but I mean, like, are you watching, you know, Disney Plus? Are you watching Succession? Are you watching what HBO is putting out? Like, it's like, oh, you got to make some choices with your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you.
And so, you know, I haven't seen any of the new season and see oh gosh, I'm going to pronounce the name terribly. Javicia.
Okay.
Javicia Leslie, who plays Ryan Wilder, right?
Okay.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, you could totally tell, you know, this character is that character when they put the suit on because they just look exactly the same.
Oh, well, right. Yeah.
I didn't know who she was. I was like, is this like, did Iris have like, you know, a sibling other than Barry in this timeline or something? Is that her sister?
Oh, interesting.
And then Batwoman shows up and I was like, oh, that's who that was. and same thing with Kara Danvers' adoptive sister. Like, yeah. I knew who she was. I saw her, but when she put on the hood and like the eye makeup and stuff, I was like, who is it? Oh, that's who that is. So, you know, okay, there is some truth to the whole, you know, putting on a mask makes you anonymous when you're like a superhero kind of thing.
Yeah. The funny thing is I think Batwoman definitely is anonymous. I don't know that the Danvers girl is anonymous though. Maybe she is.
It took me a second because like, I was like, whoa, hold on. Where did Danvers go?
Yeah.
Who's this other? Oh, that is Danvers. It took me a second to piece them together because I'm not familiar with their shows. I don't know what their costumes look like.
Right.
And I mean, I knew what the Batwoman costume looked like, but I didn't know what Ryan Wilder looked like outside of the costume because I hadn't seen the show.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I knew what Danvers looked like, but I hadn't seen her in her costume. So like, yeah, it threw me off for a loop.
Which is actually, you know, they handled this whole like bringing in characters from across the universe very well. Like there was no hand holding, but there was no hand holding necessary. You know what I mean? Yeah,
it didn't feel forced.
No, it's like, you know, it's okay if you haven't been watching Supergirl. It's like, okay, here's a person who's got a tech costume and who's part of Team Flash in the future. Like that's all you really need to know in terms of like who she is in this. Batwoman's a little bit easier. You see somebody wearing a cowl and a cape. It's like, all right, well, this is one of the most iconic, you know,
yeah, with a big bat on her chest. You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. We kind of know what's going on here. Right. We know what her deal is. So it works out. It works out pretty well. But like for some of the other characters that was a little bit more, you know, unfamiliar, not exactly household names. I thought they handled that really well. I loved, by the way, Adam's shrink ray gun, or rather watch.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Little nod to the Flash. That was really good. Team Flash as a whole, man. Again, this is the Justice League, right? Essentially, this is the Justice League of this timeline. And in his hubris, Eobard has decided that they are not the Justice League; that they are, in fact, Team Flash. Which I thought that was a great way to just really solidify his command over this timeline. Not only is he wrecking the life of Barry Allen, but he has created what he calls a paradise, in which he has taken over Barry Allen's life and taken over the Justice League and basically not even renamed him. Just from their inception, they are Team Flash. He is the greatest hero in the entire world. And if that is not the most villainous thing I've ever heard, I mean, just hats off. Well done, Eobard.
Yeah. Good job, buddy.
Yeah. And then there's like the big twist that in the end, it turns out that the Armageddon was right. It I love Barry's like slow realization of it just kind of coming to him of Despero was right. I am going to destroy the world.
He's like, I'm not going to destroy the world. Oh man, I'm going to destroy the world, aren't I?
It was really good. It was like, what was it, seven or no? What was Minority Report? It was Minority Report.
Yeah, I'm not gonna kill that guy. He's like, oh wait, hold on, I'm really about to kill that guy.
Yeah, I actually am about to kill this guy. Yeah. Exactly, like that is essentially what we've been dealing with this entire time. And so, it fantastic, like well structured, good mystery all throughout, really well done. The special effects I thought were great. The costume of the costume exchange between the Flash and Reverse Flash is such a just awesome. I never even knew I wanted it, and I wanted another. I wanted it again. It was so good. So good.
It was funny too, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, why is Barry complaining about not having enough space to get up to Mach 20? It's like, just go into Star Labs and run around the
yeah,
that's Eobard's place now.
I can't do that.
Yeah, but like still though.
No, it's fine. It made for good stuff, though, because the whole round the world and the of Damien kind of like giving him the evil, you know, the villain having to give the hero a pep talk. That's classic stuff, man. That's good stuff.
But the whole thing, I was like, well, he's faster than that. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, Jefferson took like most of his speed.
That's right.
And so that's why it takes him so long to get that fast.
It's kind of neat too, because
you see him and he's running and he's like, I don't know if I can make it. He's like, I'm running as fast as I can. And Damien's like, no, you're going to save my daughter. Now do this.
And I don't even think he said run, Barry, run.
He should have.
No, it's not his show. He doesn't know the rules. He doesn't know how it works.
I guess so. But yeah, 15,345 miles an hour.
Wait, is he going to say run, Barry, run? Is anybody going to say run, Barry, run? Should I say run, Barry, run? Run, Barry, run. What was that? Nothing. It's stupid.
What is that from? Why is that?
Cleveland Family Guy. Show? Family Guy. It's
Family Guy.
Yeah.
It's like, but that was Cleveland who said it, right?
Yeah, Cleveland's like, is he not going to say giggity? Is anyone going to say giggity? Should I say giggity? And he says, giggity. They say, what? And he's like, nothing. It's stupid. Oh, anyway. Yes. Fantastic episode. One of the best ever. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Some of the things we've wanted to see since the inception of the show. I don't even know how they're going to top this. I think it's impossible to top. That's how good it is. Or would be.
Would be.
Well, we're dealing with almost a perfect episode, Bell, aren't we?
Almost.
Almost. Almost a perfect episode. You alluded to it earlier, so you want to kick this one off?
Yeah, you know, it's like we have this awesome freaking episode that's going on, and then I guess it's not necessarily wasting time, but like they talk about how Chuck and Allegra hook up in 2021, so I mean that's supposedly still going to happen maybe. And then we do all this, like, you know, character development with Ryan Choi and with Chester and Allegra. And it's just not going to matter anymore. It doesn't matter. Like, why are we spending time doing that? We don't need to. These, like, especially for Ryan. Like, Ryan can just be a jerk in this timeline. Like, why not? It doesn't matter. And, you know, like this, they can, like, you know, Chester and Allegra can have this weird sexual tension in this timeline. It doesn't matter. We don't have to build up Chester and Allegra and like have these heart to hearts, you know, with Danvers about, like, you know, oh, you guys love each other. You should, you know, why did you ghost him? Well, she ghosted me and blah. We don't need that. We don't need that. We need Barry fighting you.
Right. Right. Well, okay. So I will actually, I'll take the alternate side on this. Okay. Let me try to, you know, take the side of, well, maybe it does matter. And because, you know, these are characters that we know. These are not necessarily full on different versions of them. This is just one potential future for them. And so to some extent, getting kind of that exploration of like, oh, well, what would it be like if they were a couple? Isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, we know, you know, there's a. All right. Did you watch Umbrella Academy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and this is not, you know, I'm not saying that the storyline is this caliber at all, or in terms of, like, you know, because what was on Umbrella Academy was fantastic. But there's, in season one, there's that whole alternate timeline. And I, you know, this is kind of spoilers for season one, but it's been out for a while. For an episode, everything is going down that you don't realize is about to be erased. And so we experience a day in the life of all these characters that by the end of it is totally erased and didn't actually happen. Well, two of the main characters experience this really just beautiful romantic arc between the two of them that culminates in this dance number that's just, it's surreal. I mean, the whole thing is very surrealist in and of itself, but like it's still one of like the most gut-wrenching, like tear-jerking, emotional moments of the entire series. And it all happened in an alternate timeline that was erased from the show. But I think it still has value, even though it didn't happen, because it shows us who they could have been. And I think that plays into how we view them for the rest of the series. So I think that it can be done well in terms of telling character development or giving us a taste of who they could be. I don't know that this was that, but I'm not totally against the concept of exploring characters in an alternate timeline and giving them like deeper moments that don't necessarily carry over, because I think in this instance it can. And so to some extent, there might be something similar at play here. I don't think it was as bad as it could have been. I don't think that it was necessary.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you have this like just delicious steak and potatoes dinner that you're just enjoying. And then every now and again, so the waiter comes up and you just shove some like really dry salad in your mouth. He's like, you have to eat this now before you can finish your meal. And then like, you eat it and you go back to your delicious steak. He's like, no, have some more salad. You know, like, I don't want salad.
How can you have any pudding if you can't have any meat?
You know, it's like, you know, and yeah, you know, there can be some interesting stuff that comes out of that. And like, I hope it does in the real timeline. Like, I hope Chester and Allegra get some character development going on and stuff.
Well, they have. So I would say that they don't need a romantic arc to have character development. They both have had really good character development. I like them. I've always been pro Allegra and pro Chester on the team. My argument has always been like, you just need to, if they're going to be the new team members, you need to axe some of the old team members. That's always been my argument.
Yeah. And you know, it's CW, so they have to ship it. So like, there's going to be a ship, obviously, but, you know, like, cause we can't have like platonic male, female friendships on a CW show.
Not on a CW show. No, that doesn't exist in this universe.
Yeah. That would be the most shocking thing this whole season to me, if that's the route they went. Right. They're not going to, obviously, but, you know, cause those things are so like in Shang-Chi, like that was super refreshing to see this platonic friendship between a man and a woman in a superhero movie, you know, like that was cool. Like you don't see it very often. And so it's not going to happen in this show, but, you know, and like, if they want to develop that, that's fine, but let's do it in a way that's not just completely erased.
I still think they would have made a cute couple in Shang-Chi. I know I'm like the minority voice on that, but I'm like, why? I mean, like, you know, it's cool. They're friends. That's great. That's fine. Like, it's good to be friends. I, you know, platonic friends are good. Platonic male, female friendships are good. I've got many. I've got very, very many. But come on, those two crazy kids. Why not? I'm with grandma on Shang-Chi. I mean, this is a whole side, but I'm just saying, I think, anyway, I'd ship them, but I'm cool with Allegra and Chester. I don't know that they need to be in a relationship for them to be interesting or anything like that. But I do understand that it's a, you know, again, CW, as you very, very rightly said, CW is going to CW, and that means that ship is going to sail. And so it'll be interesting. Maybe this will play into how we view their relationship in the future. Maybe it won't. Only time will tell. Speaking of time telling, that is going to bring us into Speedster Speculation in just a moment. But first, we got to take a quick break. We will be right back with some Speedster Speculation. More great TV talk up in just a few minutes. But first, we got to pay a few bills. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man. So, Speedster Speculation, this episode felt like a conclusion to the series, like to the event, right?
I mean, it did until like the stinger at the end, you know?
Exactly. So I remember, so I was watching this and like, I'm looking at the time. I'm like, the episode's wrapping up. Everything seems concluded. Everything seems really good. And not in like a faux, like fake out really good. Like it actually feels like we just experienced the climactic finale of a really epic event. And I kept on looking it up online. I'm like, this is a five part, right? Like this isn't four parts. This is five parts. And then we get the stinger at the end. Then Eobard shows up. He's in the future room. He's talking to Gideon. He's like, okay, no, we're going to change this timeline again. You thought I was done changing the timeline? Oh, no. This is my house. This is my timeline.
It's a nice timeline you got there. Be a shame if somebody changed it.
Again. Oh, you reversed my reverse flashpoint. I'm gonna pull the triple reverse. I'm gonna reverse your reversal of my reverse flashpoint.
Eobard pulls out like a reverse Uno card, just hands it to Barry.
Yeah, the double reverse, man. He's like the triple. I'm telling you, it's a triple reverse Uno card. They need to make that, and it would be yellow, and it would be Eobard. What is he up to, man? What is his end game here at this point? Because I feel like he was successful enough this time around. Surely he's not going to try it again.
It's going to involve Despero. Because we can't just have Despero go to the future and then just be gone. Like, we can't have that last scene of him just being like, well, I'm going to go check it out and it better be okay. And then him just never show up again. Like, that just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be funny if he did.
Yeah, like Barry gets an email and is like, hey, Bear, this is Des. You know, just checking up with you. I went to the future and you're right. I'm really sorry, but totally happy to share the earth with you, man. Have fun. Say hi to the team. Sorry I scared all you guys and like almost killed some of you.
Like, hey, really appreciate y'all never commenting on my weird eye. Okay, I know it's there. I know you were thinking about it, but you never mentioned it. And I just want you to know I appreciate that.
I read all of your thoughts and I know you were staring at it. And it's really cool that you guys didn't make any jokes about it. Cause you know, I might look big and I might look scary, but deep down I'm a really sensitive person.
Yeah. Super sensitive.
And thank you for that. And that alone, I know that you won't destroy the world.
That's right.
And so I'm going to go back to, I don't know, wherever I am.
Strange
I
guess, third island.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the fire of Plantnor or whatever it is and go roast some marshmallows. You guys are welcome to come anytime.
yeah, that's right. By the way, speaking of reading thoughts, Cecile, man, like she's talking. We never got a chance to see grown up Jenna.
No, we did not. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised it wasn't like, you know, they couldn't just convince somebody's kid to just come on the set for like a couple minutes and.
Well, to me, that kind of communicates that perhaps one day we will see a grown up Jenna. Like the because like if they're not going to do just like a throwaway, like one time extra. And they're actually going to be like, OK, well, if we're going to cast her, let's actually cast her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my thoughts on that. So who knows? Maybe we'll see her play into a future timeline in the future. But yeah. So speaking of the future, Eobard going to do a thing. What do you think he's about to do?
Kill Joe for real.
Interesting. We never got a chance to see Joe. How do you feel? All right, sorry. This is still kind of in the episode, but I guess it all plays in together. How do you feel about the fact that we never got a chance to see Joe after all of this?
I mean, he's still in the credits. The opening credits said Jesse L. Martin.
What is going on there, man?
I don't know. I haven't looked to see if there's any like online drama about it.
I can't imagine. Like, but I mean, I know there was some health issues in previous seasons.
Yes. So I don't know if it's like something came up.
I hope he's okay. Like that's that, so. All right. So I'm torn. On the one hand, you know, want Jesse to be cool, want him to be happy, healthy, and safe, and all that kind of great stuff. And also, like you say, don't know if there's any kind of like additional drama on top of any health issues that might be there. But from a story standpoint, I hope it wasn't just they didn't you know shill out to bring him on for an episode because honestly, it would have been worth whatever money he was wanting. Because honestly, this was it was kind of hard to go through. We just lost Joe, maybe for real, and then to get him back, but we don't see him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That felt weird. That's probably my biggest criticism for the episode as a whole.
Yeah, because it still feels sort of tenuous as to whether or not he's actually back.
We kind of need that emotional connection. You know, like we kind of need, in a similar fashion to how we got the renewal of the vows last season after, you know, getting kind of the West Island kind of torn apart storylines. We need more like an emotional result, like, you know, resolution to kind of happen. And after losing Joe, I kind of feel like we also need that emotional resolution and Barry talking into a phone ain't cutting it. But honestly, it's not the first time this series has done that. As you recall, your boy Plastic Man, I'm sorry, Elongated Man, came on wearing a Daft Punk helmet and said, hi guys, Twitter messed me up. I got to go. And then he's gone. So it's like, oh, okay. Of course, I was never attached to that character, so it's fine. But then later on, we've got, Iris is time sick or maybe pregnant or, you know, going through some stuff. So we get Barry yelling to clearly an empty room talking about Iris, and then he gets on the phone like, oh, Iris, you're safe. I love you so much. I'm like, I feel like we're missing some things here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either don't use the characters or use the characters, but don't like not use the characters. Anyway, so that's my one little gripe about that. But you think that he's going back to kill Joe for real?
I mean, I don't know. It just...
Because, I mean, like, that would make sense, right? Like, we kind of predicted, like, maybe this is it. Maybe Joe will actually be dead by the end of it. My only thought with that is that it seems, if that was the case, wouldn't we have Joe actually playing more of a part? And like, wouldn't we actually see him return? Wouldn't it mean more to get him back if we're going to lose him again?
Well, we still have the next episode, right? And like, I mean, maybe it'll feel cheaper if he's just in it for like 5 minutes and then he's
right
dead and gone. But like, I don't know.
I possible, but I don't get the sense that we're dealing with just Ybor being like, I'm going to get my revenge. Like, I'm just going to like, you know, let me go do this thing. Like, he's using Gideon, you know, he doesn't need Gideon to go kill Joe.
Yeah.
What's she going to do? She's time travel Alexa. Like how is she going to, what is she going to do? Change his alarm, you know, forget to remind him that he needs to take his meds. I don't think it's like,
I mean, like we didn't see this, his other plan coming. It's so hard to like, what is he going to do this time? Like, I don't think he's going to do something to the timeline this time. Maybe I think he's going to do something else. Or so it has to tie into Despero, right? It has to tie into Despero. So he's going to do something to make Despero convinced that Barry is going to destroy the world. So that way Eobard and Despero can team up to fight Barry. And then we're going to have to get the rest of the league in to, you know, take care of business on Eobard and Despero.
Maybe. I mean, I can kind of see that. Whatever he does, I think it's a fair bet, like you say, that whatever he does is going to somehow involve Despero. I don't think that, like, I think Despero is really more of an observer in all this. Like, I don't think that, like, he's going to team up with them or he's going to, like, pull them in and, you know, whatever. I think it's more of like, hey, you know, he's going to go in, he's going to change the timeline, and Despero is going to be like, you know, the Flash, I went to the future. And you were right, but then you were wrong again. So I'm back. So we need to do something about, like, he's going to basically kind of activate Barry again to do something or another.
And you think it's going to be like Despero and Barry versus Eobard?
I think it's going to be, I honestly, man, I think we're going to see the beginning of the series. I think that we're going to see Barry running back in time to stop Eobard. And we're going to have this Eobard go back and have to do it all again.
Interesting.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think he's going to get stranded again in the past. It might be a situation where he has to wipe his memory or something like that. But I think we're going to get a time loop where we have Eobard going back in time to episode one. Like, I think we predicted way back in season one that was going to be the end of the series, that the last episode of the series is going to be that epic battle. I think the way in which they've just literally just everything, they've thrown everything at this man. They swung for the fences. They didn't leave any ideas out. Like, they're not holding anything back, and hats off to them, because that is a bold and honestly the right decision to make in this. But because that's the case, I'm really thinking like, all right, well, they might be looking at this like, you know what? Being able to finish out the series the way we want to is not a guarantee. Let's just go ahead and do it now. Let's do the thing that perhaps we may have been waiting on for, you know,
like season 8 or 9, yeah, rather.
Yeah.
Or the last season.
For the last season.
I think that'd be cool. Like, I think that would be really neat. So yeah, but like, I just like, it's going to be really weird to like hype up Despero as like this dude and then he just disappears. But I mean, granted, yes, I would rather see the Eobard Barry stuff. But I don't know. Is the cheapness of it lessened by the fact that we get what we really wanted all along?
I think so. I mean, like, I think that, like, I have no problem with Despero being a complete red herring. Like, hats off. Way to distract us while you pulled off like the real flashpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, not in terms of, you know, everything is irreparably changed, but in terms of, you know, the actual, like, the emotion of Flashpoint. I don't know, man. I think it was done really well. So yeah, I don't think so, man. I think this could be it.
That would be really neat. I mean, we'll have to wait. And hopefully they don't spoil it on freaking Twitter minutes before I watch the episode.
Well, see, for you, it was Twitter. For me, it was YouTube. Somebody, I think it was freaking Pagey, put it up on his YouTube channel. And like in the thumbnail. Because I typically don't watch his videos until after, you know, we record our stuff. Because I'm always, you know, he's one of the few people that actually like, all right, what's this guy saying? But no, like he put that in his thumbnail. I was ticked off.
Please, 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 content creators, do not put spoilers in your titles or thumbnails.
Don't do that. A wizard should know better. Like, come on. You should know better than that. Basic stuff. Anyway, all right, man. Well, there you go. That's this one. That's our thoughts, but we want to hear y'all's thoughts.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow,
red and yellow. All right, man, listener feedback. Hey, we got one in from Christy Michelle. What did she have to say?
This episode was incredible, minus the unrequited love subplot that took up entirely too much time. Which writer thought that we'd care about an alternate timeline, almost breakfast in bed, when Eobard is in this episode? Thank you, Christy. See? Christy gets it. Christy gets it. Like... Yeah. Yes, there's Eobard. There's no need. We don't need the salad to be shoved in our face when we're trying to eat delicious steak and potatoes.
Okay, no, I hear that. I really do hear that. I think that is a legitimate criticism. Okay, what the next one is coming in from Travis. What did Travis have to say?
So much put in the alternate timeline storylines when anyone watching knew it was going to be erased and not mean anything. But I guess they need a time filler. At least we got some Damian Dark, which is always a plus. See, Travis as well. Travis knows.
Yeah. All right. I get it. All right. Christy, Travis, I see y'all. Like I get it. It's
it's frustrating. It's just frustrating.
It is. And I mean, like I said, it's the one thing that really kept this from being a perfect episode. There were some cringy lines in there too about love and everything else. And it was like, ooh.
See, like I wouldn't have minded if it was like a completely different Allegra and a completely different Chester, because that's kind of cool because you get to see like Elseworlds versions of your characters. But this was the same Chester and the same Allegra who had a really weird, awkward hookup 10 years ago. And now they're finally I don't care.
OK, no, I mean, I get it. That's fine. I think it's you know, y'all are not wrong. I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. You're not wrong. I think that I have seen it done worse, I guess is my point. I've seen it done much worse. I feel like I've seen it done much worse on this show, actually. In the music episode where Barry and Supergirl teamed up, it seemed like there was a lot that happened on subplots with characters that I want to say didn't even really exist, because I think it was all like mental, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
This is a trope that this show has done numerous times. And every time they've done it, I've complained about it.
All right. But I guess my point is...
Yeah, I think the first time they did it, it was something that was like, they're doing all this stuff and then it went away. And you're like, but that was like really good character development.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could remember the specifics, but I know they've done it like several times.
Well, I just the singing episode was the one that was the most egregious. But yeah, no, I hear you. It has happened. And it's not great. I don't think this is as bad as it's happened in the past. So I'm giving them the rest of the episode was so good. I'm not going to let my feelings on that take away from
yeah. Me. I mean, it didn't mar the rest of the episode for me. It was more like, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so awesome. Okay. Hurry up. Let's go. Okay. Yes. Back to the awesome. 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 You know? So yeah, it wasn't like it's not like, I, you know, some people will go to a movie and they don't like the last 10 minutes. Like, that movie sucked. It wasn't like that. It was like, that movie was awesome, except for a couple minutes that weren't awesome.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I like it. I think it's good. Hey, we appreciate that those thoughts. And actually, as y'all are watching the show, be sure to tweet out hashtag Flash TV Talk or hashtag TV Talk. Or you can just tweet us at TV Talk FM. We'd love to see y'all's thoughts as you're watching it, either live or if you're watching it on delay. That's what I did. I did kind of a delayed watching, which, by the way, as soon as I started watching it, like in the first 5 minutes, I put it on pause because A, we ended up having to record a day late and I wanted to make sure I was watching it really, really fresh before we recorded. And B, I immediately got on Photoshop and reversed our album art. So please enjoy the reverse TV Talk logo for this week's episode. And yeah, there you go. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell. You can follow us at TV Talk FM. All the information that you need and more can be found at TV Talk.com. tvtalk.fm. We are the official talk of tvtalk.fm. Be sure to, yeah, check out all of that there. Now, I think that is going to do it for us for this week. But until next time, we'll be back in a flash. Yes.
Today on NPR TV Talk, we talk about swallows.
I'm Bo York filling in for Matt Bell, filling in for Bo York of Earth 2, filling in for Matt Bell of Earth 3.
And I am Eobard Thawne.
No!
All right. All right. Let's see. I'm coming through okay?
Yeah, but I am going to read the. It's a new timeline. We have to do.
We got to do the thing.
No, I mean we got to like start the show differently, right?
Or Reverse Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Reverse Flash TV Talk. I am the fan that this podcast is dedicated to.
They changed the intro, man.
I know, right?
That was all. Like, I'm so ready to talk about this episode. It's crazy.
Jump into the
flash down,
the walk up.
Oh, yes,
because it's Reverse Flash.
Of course, it's Reverse Flash.
Barry finds that the timeline changed, and he is now the Reverse Flash.
TVTalk.com. .fm.
Don reveals that he killed Joe.fm and changed Barry.fm.
He killed Joe, but he still got his revenge by causing the producers to not be able to spring to get Jesse Martin back on the show.
Jesse L. Martin, facing contract negotiation, was killed by Reverse Flash.
He was unsuccessful in killing him, but very successful in thwarting those contract negotiations. All right.
The union lawyers for Jesse L. Martin killed Joe West by pushing him in front of a commuter train.
Oh my God. Joe West died today when he was mauled to death by a pack of ravenous wolves.
Armageddon!
No. golden bell. It's golden.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.